So we are a church that's had a number of different families who have adopted children. And so for those of you who've adopted children, like our family, others of you who know families who've adopted children, you know that when I say it is a long and complicated process to adopt children, like you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what that is. To adopt someone into your family, like that is a whole deal, right? There's a bunch of different things you have to do. This is, as I often say, it's not a side hustle, right? I've got a few side hustles going. This is not one of them, right? This is not something you sort of, a weekend hobby type of thing. To adopt children into your family takes intentional decision. It's an intentional effort. It's an intentional choice to bring a child into your family, and you have to then intentionally go through all the steps to finalize that process. Different choices and decisions and things to be signed so that those kids or that kid would be brought into your family. What it means then is, you know, for children who've been adopted into a family, it means like you are really wanted, right? Your parents really wanted you. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't like they looked outside their bedroom and like, oh, how did these kids get here, right? That's not how it happens. To bring children into your family requires, again, intentional effort. It requires them bringing in without really any preconditions. If you've been adopted, you know that like you didn't pay your parents, right, to bring you into the family. It's not like you could present a resume saying, I guarantee that I will be rich one day and pay you off for all the things you've done to help raise me. Bio kids can't even say that either, right? There's none of that. It was an intentional effort, intentional decision to bring children into the family because those parents really wanted those children. And so they made the effort, they made the intentional choice to make that happen. So when we look at our passage today, I mean, our passage has got a lot of different terms in it, terms that people, if you've been raised in Christianity or are familiar with sort of Christian history, there's words in here that people have debated and discussed in all sorts of different ways over the centuries, over thousands of years. But in the midst of this passage, in the midst of a lot of those debated words, I think it's important that we see the context for us to understand the words that are mentioned here, right? Just a basic principle of how we look at the Bible is to say that we understand words in context. We understand words in connection to one another. And so the context of this, the way to understand what this is about, the reason all those different terms are mentioned in this passage is it says there in verse 29, in order that Jesus, the Son of God, might have many siblings. Or the word translated there is brothers, but the sense here is brothers and sisters, right? Men and women are included here. So the idea is God doing all these things to create a family, to create a big family. And that's, you want to know what the main idea is that I'm exploring this morning? It's really this, how God is intentionally bringing people into his family. God's intentionality to draw many, many, many people into his family. God is an adoptive parent. He's an adoptive parent. And if you're a Christian, you should know this morning that God put effort and intentionality to adopt you into his family. He worked this. God saw you, he chose you and planned for you and then went after you and used all his sovereign power to make sure that he got you and that you would stay with him. Adoption into God's family is not left up to chance. Not an accident, this is not an oops pregnancy, this is not any of those things. This is God all the way initiating, pursuing, seeing it through so that people like you and me might be in his family. I think what we have here is like another angle of looking at what we saw and what we've been seeing in chapter 8. So we've talked about in chapter 8 how we are groaning, right? We're going through all the ups and downs of life, right? But we're groaning with the understanding and the hope that God will ultimately redeem us. Last week we talked about how God is using all things, all the different things we go through, and ultimately to work us towards that good end, a new creation in our redemption, verse 28. Well, that good end, that final redemption, basically, we can, based on these verses, another angle on it is to say that really what we're looking at is a centuries-long adoption process. That at the heart, the very heart of this new creation, the heart of our redeemed, us being redeemed, our redeemed bodies, at the heart of all things working out for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose, at the heart of that is people who have been brought into God's family. That the whole universe is revolving around this center point. God is bringing family together. He's bringing us together, and he's keeping us together forever. And let's notice here, too, right before it talks about sort of Jesus being the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, before it sort of talks about this family aspect, I want you to notice what it says there in verse 29, that this will happen because we are being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. Now, I have more to say about that later on in the sermon, but here's another neat way for us to understand, almost to drill down even more. God is bringing us together as family, and part of what that means, and again, looking back earlier in Romans 8, the redemption of ourselves, that all things working together for good, is that as we are part of God's family, we're going to be like God, which is to say, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like him. God has an intentional plan to bring us and adopt us in his family and help us be like him, to bear the family resemblance, to be fully like him. That's the overall plan. That's what you sort of think as an overall sort of story that's driving the things that we look at as we look at the details of that, the details of God's intentional plan to adopt us into his family. So when you look at each of the terms, or really it's the verbs that you'll see in this passage. And many over the years have called this the golden chain of salvation. It's the idea that like all these different verbs are attached together in a chain that saves us and brings us into relationship with God, that ultimately ensures the fact that we'll be part of God's family forever. So let's look at this sort of golden chain, the series of things that God has intentionally done to bring us into his family. So this is chapter 8 again. Let me read it once more. Verses 29 to 30. Verses 29 to 30. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. So let's look at the sort of each of the main verbs that are mentioned there. The first set I'm going to kind of group together here. That God, there's those God foreknew, and he also predestined them. And those whom he predestined, he also called. So out of all the set of words here, these are the words that I think a lot of people trip over, right? This idea of God foreknowing and predestining and calling. And again, a lot of discussion on this. Like, remember where I started. Like, what's the context of this? Like, what's really being said here? It's ultimately about how God is making his family. The intentionality of God bringing into his family. I think these words are in the Bible to help us see, God's not nonchalant about this. Right? This is not God sort of without any thought, kind of just, I'll grab a few of these. Right? It's not God. The Bible wants to make it clear. It's not as if someone came to God and be like, hey, you want these people in your family? And God's like, well, I don't know if I've got time for this, but maybe do it quick. I got a tea time, right? Get this done. These words are meant to help us see that God really, really wanted us. That he, when you read God foreknew, he predestined, he called, think this. God intentionally loved us. It's God's bear hug of love towards us, if you want to think about it this way. I'm going to show you a picture of a bear hug. If you've not had one in a while, you should. Here's we think about what a bear hug is. I mean, again, think of, and I'm not talking about the creepy relative. I'm talking about like the person you really love, right? I'm talking about like the one, your favorite relative, right? When they bear hug you, it's not like you can resist that. But no one wants to resist a hug from someone you really love and care about you. I'm talking about the relative who loves you as you are, without preconditions. They pull you, they see you at the family reunion, and they intentionally move towards you, and they're like, man, I haven't seen you in a while, and they pull you in. And you just get absorbed in love and affection. Like maybe anything that you've been thinking about or struggling with, you didn't even want to be at the family reunion, but you wanted to be there for them. But you didn't even have to wait for them to come to you. You didn't have to go to them. They came to you and pulled you to them in love. That is what we're talking about here. These are technical words to describe something very relational, God's intentional bear hug of love towards us. Let's look at those words. When we say God foreknew, understand the Bible is not saying God just knew stuff about us ahead of time, like knew that like maybe we would want to be in his family. This is a word the Bible uses to describe God's intentional decision to set love on us. So when you see foreknew, think foreloved, right? This is God's decision to form what the Bible, the Old Testament has this word covenant. It's this idea of like God's committed decision to have a committed relationship of love with us, with you and with me. God's deliberate decision to set his love upon us. But also says then he predestined us. So that's to say that then God saying, I'm going to set my love on these people, and then God is making a plan to then make sure that he can always love us, that can always be with us, that we might always be part of his family. You know, it's a way of just helping us see that God is not passive when it comes to the way he seeks after us and pursues us. It's to say that once God said, I am setting my love on them, it's like he made the beeline for us. He set the plan in motion to make sure that we would always be part of his family. I want you to notice here, is God takes this initiative, not based on anything we've done, anything that we've earned, anything that we've accomplished. This is about God saying, I really want people in my family. Like people watching right now, people in this room, I want them to be in my family. So predestined, it is that sense of God predetermining our destiny, but it's to say he's predetermining that our destiny is to be loved by him forever, never apart from him. That he is determining and making sure that our destiny is to be forever known, forever loved, forever close to God. And to make sure then that happens, God, it says, also called us to himself. So think of that image of the bear hug. God sees us across the room and says, I love those people. God makes a plan through all the people in his way in that room to get to us. And then God calls his irresistible pull of love towards us. God grabbing hold of us and never letting go since then. See, to say that God called us is really for us to see that God is saying, you really are in my family. You are not outside. You will never be outside. You'll never be lost. You'll never be alone. It is the pull, the irresistible pull of love of him towards us. And as we said, it's not the kind of pull any of us ever want to resist. It's a pull out of being lost orphans, spiritual orphans, alone, far away from God. God, in love, calls us to himself and pulls us into a different place, being loved, accepted, children of God. So God is intentionally making a family. He's foreknowing, predestining, calling us. The next step in God intentionally loving his family is that then he also justified us. He also justified us. Now, this is a word we've looked at a bunch of times in Romans so far, and it speaks to the fact that God is declaring us not guilty. Right? So when God looks on us, we're no longer the rebellious orphans far away from God. Instead, when God looks at us, he doesn't see people who are facing judgment from him. Instead, he sees people who now are righteous sons and daughters, that we are loved and accepted by God, and we're seen, even more so, we're seen as righteous because God has applied the righteousness of Christ to us. If you sort of keeping with that kind of adoption imagery here, right, to say that God is intentionally bringing people, loving people into his family, to say, when we think of justified, think of this, think of God completing all the paperwork, filling out all the forms, paying all the fees, paying the huge cost, everything that's necessary, clearing the record, anything that would have said, no, sorry, you can't have these kids. They can't be part of your family, God. Sorry, there are too many problems. God paid all the fees. Tell me what needs to be done. Tell me what I need to sign. Tell me what I need to sacrifice. I need to sacrifice my life. I will do it. God doing everything possible to clear any guilt, any shame, so that we might be part of his family. It means God willing to pay the debt to the last penny. To the last penny. That means, and you can understand for sure, there's nothing owed, right? There's nothing, no debt, no fee that needs to be paid that's going to sort of keep you outside of God's family. When we say God's justified us, I mean, really, when we think of Jesus, it's God coming in person. God coming in person to sign the paperwork, to fill out the forms, to pay the huge cost that was necessary so that we might legally be free, but not just free, so that we might legally be available to be adopted and brought into God's family. This is what God did. This is the intentionality, the effort of God to love you, to love people to himself. Last thing we see in the passage, that then he also glorified us. Right? So God's, what does it say is that God is intentionally then making sure once we've been, the debt's been cleared, he sees us, he draws us to himself, he's intentionally then making sure that we really are going to be part of his family. And that means that his glory, the thing that makes God's family amazing, the glory of God, he's going to make sure it fills us, it's fully realized in us. And now that we're in God's family, we can be sure that it's not like he's going to sort of put us in the back of the orphanage and say, hey, hope it works out for you. God's saying he's putting us at the best seat in the table, right next to Jesus. It's God's intention to intentionally parent us and raise us and invest in us so that we look like him, which is to say that we look like Jesus. Now, in one sense, like, this hasn't happened fully yet, right? So when we talk about being glorified, I think all of us can say we're not 100% like Jesus right now, right? So there's a sense in which this is future, but I think the way this is translated as glorified as a past tense is so that we might understand it as almost as already being done. That in the sense that we look forward to the ways in which that will fully happen, we should now consider ourselves already part of God's family, because what God is doing is parenting us so that we will fully step into all the blessings that God intends for those who are part of his family. Another word to describe this parenting process of God, this very intentional, direct parenting process of God that will lead us to be fully glorified, is the word sanctification. It's a sense of, when we think of God parenting us, he's sanctifying us. In other words, he is purifying us, making us holy, making us fully like Jesus. And something else to notice here, in all that God is doing, right, to bring people into this family, right, all God is intentionally doing, foreknowing, predestining, calling, justifying, glorifying, sanctifying, all that stuff, all that God is doing, God's intention is that it would result in a very big family. In a very, very big family. Notice back in verse 29 what it says there. So that in order that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God intends to do this with a lot of people. When you look over the course of human history, God is loving many people to himself. The vision of the family of God and the end of all things, we're told in Revelation, is a people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's a whole mess of people. There's a lot of people, right? The idea is that God, that Jesus, is going to have many brothers and sisters. So, like, I sometimes think we read this and we think in such, I think, small ways about what God is doing. God is not being stingy in foreknowing, predestining, calling, justifying, and glorifying people. Right? It doesn't fit who God is. I mean, God is relentlessly, aggressively loving people to himself, adopting people into his family, because that fits who God is. We are told that we have a God who's not just loving, he's abundant in love. We're told that we have a God who's not just gracious, he is generous in his grace. So God who's abundant in love, who's generous in grace, means that the family picnic will be jam-packed. But God intends to do this with many, many, many people. And we should expect that. We should walk into life knowing that this is how God plans to do things. His intentional plan is to bring people, many people, into his family, to foreknow, predestine, call, and justify many people such that they might be part of his family and look like him and be like him. That everything, all the things that will work out for good, the new creation, our redemption, the very heart of it is this: God with his people forever. and all that he has will never be lost. So that's the plan, God's intentional effort to bring people to his family. Here's at least five things that I hope you feel as a result of seeing sort of the ways in which God has sought people out and brought to himself. So five things I want to mention here at the end. Number one, I hope you feel assurance. I hope you feel real assurance. Here's what God wants to tell you this morning. It's this: nothing can go outside his plan to save you. Nothing can go outside his plan to save you. I want you to understand, be assured of this. Your destiny is not violence. It's not brokenness. It's not forever death. It's not hell. If you've believed in God through Jesus, this is your destiny. Forever family, right at the place of God. Right next to God. That is your destiny. Be sure of that. Be confident of that. I don't care what people have told you. It matters. It's affected you, right? There's so many things people have told you. This is what your destiny is. This is what's going to come out to you. You've had teachers say that to you. You've had parents say that to you. You've had spouses say that to you. You've had so-called friends say that to you. This is who you are. This is all you'll ever be. I want you to understand, here's what the Bible says. Here is who you are forever, son and daughter of God, co-heir with Christ. That's who you are. Nothing can remove you from that path. God has, the one who made everything said, this is what I'm going to do. You think someone's going to stop them? It's going to stop God? No one can stop God from that. So that is just that's a kind of surety and confidence we need in uncertain times. Here is God's plan for his people, forever family with him. Number two, thankfulness. That God chooses us in love and sets us on this path to enter into the fullness of his love. Not because we're perfect people, not because we've got it together, not because we're going to pay him back someday. No, it's because of who God is. Rich in love, rich in grace. A God who said, I want a new heaven, a new earth, and I want it to be filled with people that I have intentionally loved and brought into my family. Not because of anything they've done, but because my love is just that big. What are some things you should be thanking God about? Like that. That this is the way God thinks. This is the way that God acts. Thank you, Lord God, that you're a God of abundant grace and love. So I hope you feel assuredness. I hope you feel thankfulness. I hope you also feel humility. I mean, this is greatly humbling, isn't it? I mean, there is no room for pride and boasting in the Christian. I think it's one of the most sad things that I would argue has developed in American Christianity is a sort of like acceptance of a kind of like boastfulness and bragging about our faith. Like, look at us. Look what we've done. And this almost of aggressiveness that has come to American Christianity, kind of the sense I don't know how any of us can be prideful or boastful about our life if you understand what God has done to save you. Like, this is radically humbling to realize that we did not earn it, and yet God has given it to us. I like this quote from A.H. Strong. This is early 1900s. He says this: the conquered rebel can give no thanks to himself. All thanks are due to God who has chosen and renewed him. The affections elicited are not those of pride and self-complacency, look what I did, or just like, well, I guess, you know, I'm glad I stumbled into this. It's of gratitude and love. The fact that God has intentionally adopted us gives us the kind of spirit that I think should be inherent to every Christian: humility, humbleness. Wow, God, that you would look on someone like me in this way. Last two here, encouragement. Hope you feel encouraged to know this. God really, really, really wanted you. He really wanted you. He really went after you to bring you into his family. And God really intends to do something special in your life. And you know what that special thing is? Conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. I mentioned that earlier. I want to sort of go back to this and just think about what that means. God's intention in bringing you into his family is to make you like the firstborn son. The Son of God, Jesus. And so who is Jesus? Jesus is God made man. So Jesus represents perfect humanity, what we were always intended to be. So that God, in bringing you into his family, means that you will be the best version of yourself. In Christ, you're meant to be fully, like the full expression of what you were supposed to be apart from being the full expression of what you're supposed to be if you were free finally of sin. free to finally be in the presence of God in the ways that you're supposed to be. So think of, you will be God's intention in adopting you and parenting you towards the end where you might be fully like Jesus means that you will be the most wise, most understanding, most confident, most steady, most loving version of yourself that you can possibly be. That is what God is doing. That's what God intends to do. And so I want you to, I hope that encourages you, first of all, in how you think about yourself. Here's who you are. You are someone who is wanted. Again, people have said a lot of things about maybe where your life is headed, maybe, and people have said a lot of things about the kind of person you are. Some of them true, some of them like horribly wrong. Here's a way to press the reset button on that. Fundamentally, you are wanted by God. Before anything began, God wanted you. That's meant to be an encouragement to you, but also an encouragement about where you're headed, encouragement where God eventually is going to bring you into your, bring you to your life, to the best possible end. God's intention is to bring you to the end that you would, we would ever, ever want for yourself, which is you finally being what God intended you to be. And so I hope that encourages you and spurs you on in what God is doing, his sanctifying work in your life. You should look for ways in which God is making you more like Jesus and step into the ways in which God is making you like Jesus. Don't settle for being less wise, less understanding, less loving than you know you can be. If you've been adopted and accepted by God in Jesus Christ, you are on this trajectory towards the wisdom, the grace, the peace, the faithfulness, the love of Jesus, all fully realized in yourself. Like, don't look at the years of your life and say, like, well, you know, I'm fine being a little short of that. No, I want you to understand, if God has the intentionality to bring you towards that, you should have the expectation and understanding that God is moving you in that direction. Be encouraged that that can happen in your life. Be encouraged that that is happening day by day in your life. Believe that is happening day by day in your life. The last thing I'll mention, the expectation. The expectation, yes, and what God is doing in life, but also, more broadly, the expectation that God is actually saving people all around you. All around you. Expect that, yeah, the people you meet, the people you know, God intends to bring them into the family. And God is working in all sorts of different ways, mysterious ways, but if I'm understanding, we'll see this later on in Romans 10, one of the things that I think Romans 10 is saying is that one of the ways that God brings people into this family, calls people to himself, is through people who are already in the family and let people know that God is calling. You see, that people will respond to God's call into his family as you and me, who are already part of this family, if you believe in God through Jesus, as we let them know, hey, there's a Father looking for you. He's headed towards you. Get ready to be pulled in. Be pulled in into his love, into his grace. God's plan is to foreknow, predestine, justify, glorify specific people in your life. Do you think that way? Do you expect that? I want you to think that way. I want you to expect that. I want you to see how God has deliberately seated you, seated us all over this city. So it's no accident that people who are around you know you. They have an opportunity to see what family can really be. And let me just say, this is in the midst, I mean, I mentioned this in a prayer. This is going to be an interesting week. There's a lot, I think, that will happen this week and in weeks and months to come. I would argue this might be one of the best opportunities the church has to speak to some things and to represent things more than ever before. Like, we get pulled in all sorts of directions. What a message this is, that there is a God who is calling many people to himself in love and uniting them in love. That's the thing that I want to hear from our lips. That's the thing that I want us to experience. That's the thing I want. And it's the people that are in your life who God, I believe, is doing that in. And certainly, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, I mean, if you're here today, you're watching, you're here, it's no accident that you're here today. It's no accident that I'm in your orbit right now, in your life, in these moments. I believe it's not an accident because I believe in a generous God. I believe in a gracious God. I believe in a sovereign God. And so, one of the ways God is bear-hugging people to himself is making sure that they are drawn to other people who've already experienced it and saying, hey, come on in. And so I want you to hear that from me. Come on in. I want you to believe that, yes, God could, yes, is, yes, seeing you, knowing you, loving you, and drawing you irresistibly to himself. Feel that magnetic pull. See God, and specifically see Jesus. And Jesus is the arm of God saying, I love you, and yes, you've got a lot of things that have kept you far away from me, but if you're willing to put them away and receive my love and believe in Jesus, I will love you forever. I have loved you forever. And that is true for anyone in this room, for anyone who's watching. God intentionally building his family, adopting people in his family. That's what God is up to. Let's pray that we would see more of it, believe in it, and that God would take care of the rest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for how, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, how you are going to use this morning to call people to yourself. Maybe if not today, then this week, this month, this year, and the coming years. So thank you, Lord God, that you are involved in that process, Lord. Fill us, Lord, more with the expectation that you're doing this. Help us to be encouraged and sure that you're doing this, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to always live in the spirit of thankfulness and hope, Lord, that you're doing these things. I pray for how you would reset our understanding of ourselves and our destiny. I pray for how that would direct the ways in which we want to live our lives, Lord. We live our lives now in relation to you. Thank you, Lord God, that you intentionally know us in this way. And thank you, Lord God, that this is a reminder that you get all the credit. You will get all the credit for what you are doing to bring people to yourself. And so, Lord, I pray that the things the Bible says are true. I pray, Lord God, that the harvest truly is ready, that the fields are white with harvest, which tells me, Lord God, that you are not being stingy, Lord. Now is the time, Lord, by which you might draw people to yourself, even in this season. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would do it, that you do it relentlessly, aggressively, and that, Lord, you would use us, your people, in that way, Lord, to speak of this, Lord God, to bear witness to it, to be used of you, Lord God, so that truly, Lord, that vision of one day of people from all over gathered together and worship to you would come to pass. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus. His name we pray. Amen.